Thanks, Bob. Good evening, everybody. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Craig. As usual, thank you for the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with respects to the 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, with probably a sprinkling of a little step and concept in there, and the opportunity to go principle by principle with you. So this week we're doing tradition five, which is one of my favorites. It's also the one we probably complicate the most. There's not much more simple than tradition five. When you go through the book, A Comes of Age with me, if you are a service sponsee, or maybe even as we go through this workshop, whatever, I will always ask the question, what is our primary purpose? And all of us, even those that are fairly new to the 12 traditions, know is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And what isn't our primary purpose? Literally everything else. Literally. Literally. Politics, reform, drugs, gender, up, down, north, south, left, right, you name it. Literally everything. Other than staying sober and helping other alcoholics achieve sobriety. And I hope what to bring to this principle today is more of the altruistic group involvement in that, because you'll see the long form when we talk about it. It says the spiritual entity. Imagine that for a second. Your AA group ideally is a spiritual entity. Do we know that? Do we embrace that? Do we understand what that means? Do we think about that? Do we talk about that? Do we process that? Each AA group is a spiritual entity. That's a lot of responsibility. So that whole apathetic, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's been this way for a while. Don't worry about it. Boys will be boys. Whatever phrase you have that I could be resentful at all day doesn't really apply to the principle of tradition five as I interpret it. Now, you don't need to interpret it that way, but as I interpret it. As usual, same spiel in the beginning. We have the short form, the long form. I'll read both and I'll show you why I prefer the long form. It's a lot more explicit. The short form of Tradition 5 simply says each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Pretty straightforward. Just read it one more time. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. So we're trying to help the alcoholic, that's very clear, who still suffers. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to be more than that to anyone else. We're not trying to do anything more than that. I mean, we are, unfortunately. I've seen it with my own eyes, but that's not our task. It's not what we agreed upon, such as Brooke read as we came of age in the mid-50s. A lot of this is written, we've already agreed upon it, but a lot of us don't know or aware of what we agreed upon or what the idea is. And at the same time, there are no police. So I'm not walking you through loopholes, though. I'll promise you that. You could walk yourself through loopholes. I'm not walking you through them. I'm just going to share my experience, strength, and hope as I interpret each one of these principles. So here's the long form, which isn't that much longer, but it's more explicit in my opinion. Each Alcoholics Anonymous group ought to be a spiritual entity having but one primary purpose, that of carrying its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. And I don't want to lecture, but when you look back at the days this was written and who wrote it and lawyer talk and this and that, those words such as should and ought, those are very strong, intentional words. So we ought to be a spiritual entity, which means we should be striving, here's the basic concept, to live within the 12 steps and to practice those first four traditions. Of course, we want to practice all the traditions, but we're only on five right now. So we ought to be a spiritual entity. Everything we do within our group ought to be based in those 12 steps. Everything we do within our group ought to be based in those principles, such as the 12 traditions, to bring about AA unity. The one thing we have, the only thing we have, is our experience, strength, and hope. But I watch us toss it like a frisbee all day long just to try to sound good or to be right. We always doubt the power of our experience. And then we get what? We get distracted. That's what tradition five is all about. All of these principles, in my experience, state our problem and our solution at the same time. And what's our problem, as I understand it, is there's a lot of distractions. The task is pretty simple. And when we stay focused, and I know if you're alcoholic like me, you identify with this anyway. Because if you're alcoholic like me, that's why you like a firm sponsor. That's why you like a big book, because you know you need directions. Until you wanted it, you didn't care about it, and you didn't hear it, and you could give a you-know-what about it. But when you want to get well, you need it, and you know you need it, and the truth has a certain ring to it. So we are undisciplined as alcoholics, absolutely. But when we surrender and we have what you, if when we want what you have, which is what A has, what we have, then we must do this. We want to be a part of a spiritual entity. We want to do what's right for AA. We want to live better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully each Alcoholics Anonymous group understands this idea of a spiritual entity grounded in the 12 steps, understanding the common welfare, having an informed group conscience, electing trusted servants that are qualified, understanding what it means to be a member of AA and what it means to be an Alcoholics Anonymous group without any affiliation. And like we spoke about last week, to consult, to communicate within, you know, the guides of our district, area, conference, you name it, all throughout the different structure, and consult. Because the same way I might have a conversation with someone here and communicate and learn and teach, and they're teaching and learning to me, that's what we do as groups also. The hierarchy, even though we try so hard to make it exist in AA, it doesn't work. I've been in the role for a long time now. I'm just being honest with you. A lot of times people just assume I'm the guy to call. I have the answer, blah, blah, blah. You're teaching me way more than I'm teaching you when you get on the phone with me, just so you know that. So if you give me a call and you're like, wow, Craig knows a lot about Tradition 5, that's great. And maybe I do, maybe I don't. But you're helping me way more than I'm helping you. And that's the way AA works. Same thing with a group. Again, remember, service and recovery are not separate. So when the Okeechobee Boulevard calls the Jupiter group or whoever, I'm just making stuff up because I know where you guys are in Florida, but they're sharing experience, strength, and hope with each other. And then we come that much more stronger when we stick to that primary purpose. When you're in your business meeting, and I had an awakening last week based on some of the questions, and I apologize, I already talk fast as it is, and if some of you are brand new to this, please include them in your questions. Please feel free to call me offline in between the week, whatever. But I had a realization there's a lot of fairly new people in this workshop, and I appreciate that. But when you're inside a business meeting, which I'm sure you've attended one, are we sticking to our conversations being about how we can best help the alcoholic who still suffers? Or are we going off on tangents of personalities? Who should be in charge here? Who should be elected here? Who should be the speaker? This kind of coffee, this kind of poster, who's going to do the chairs, whatever it is. I say all the time, the name of the AA group pamphlet is where it all begins. And do we feel like our home group is where Alcoholics Anonymous begins? If your group was the only group that anyone ever saw, if your group was the only open door to an alcoholic getting sober, do you feel your group is where AA all begins? Now, I understand every group can have their own idea of how to live within these principles and their own personality, and there's nothing wrong with that. But are we focused on the primary purpose? Is the format of our group, is the reading of the group, is our own personal preamble, never mind the grapevine preamble, just our preamble, is it based in the primary purpose of AA? When we read a treasurer's report, there's one for you. What does a treasurer's report have to do with the primary purpose? Everything. Where's that money going? Is that money directly linked to the primary purpose? Well, how can money not be the primary purpose? I'll tell you how. If you're in the Northeast, or I guess if you're in Alaska or Canada, And you go to the winter months. I don't know what it is about AA groups, but they love giving the church extra money during those months. Totally inappropriate. Nothing to do with the primary purpose. It's also dishonest. And one of my pet peeves, I say this every time I facilitate a group inventory, and if you heard this already, I'm sorry, I'm repeating it. But I always ask everyone the same question. Has anybody in this room ever rented an apartment? And I'll ask someone to raise their hand, and a lot of people will raise their hand. And then I always ask them the same question. When have you gone up to your landlord in the month of December and said, I'm going to give you extra money this month because I know the heat's very expensive? Never. Not once. So why would an AA group do that? With money that we just read the preamble to. We just read the green card. We just passed the basket and talked about it, helping the alcoholic who still suffers. One big family, Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a micro and a macro. Some of us have been to various levels of school. But, you know, in a lot of those levels of school, including me, that hasn't been to much school. But whether it's high school or college, we talk about the micro level and the macro level. And we are one big family at the end of the day. We are all connected through these principles. The dollar in a basket connects your group in South Florida or Middle Florida, whatever, that doesn't even know the group in India. But you're still somehow connected when we stick to this primary purpose. The scariest thing about the traditions is it's so easy to say, oh, well, we're not really hurting anybody. We don't really hear anyone complaining. But here's the thing. You're not going to. Because people don't leave a note at the door saying, I was really disappointed. Please give me a call and welcome me back. You never hear about it. And then you start having questions. How come we don't have enough members coming? How come we don't have enough contributions in the basket? How come there's all this apathy? How come no one's here this week? The traditions, in my experience, are to create an effective environment to carry the message of the 12 steps. When we serve as a district committee member at the district, a general service representative, a delegate, work at the office, serve on the board, whatever level of general service, it's still all about the 12 steps. Everything we do is linked to that. So if we are not sticking to our primary purpose ourselves, so as an individual, I need to make sure I'm grounded in the steps daily. This tradition maybe doesn't necessarily ask you that directly, but it does ask me that. How can I possibly be a part of a group, a small part of a huge piece necessary for a great whole, that's supposed to be a spiritual entity, is supposed to be grounded in the 12 steps, if I'm not doing them myself? And what message do I have if people at my district aren't doing it? What message is my district really carrying if we're not grounded in the 12 steps or my group or my area or whomever? And I'm not whipping out a lie detector and everybody's got to be 100% perfect on the steps and blah, 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 at least not tonight. But the point is, are we sticking to the primary purpose? It's all about equality, too. We forget about that word. That's the most beautiful thing we have in AA. There are no second-class citizens. The two things that keep us equal are anonymity, which everyone forgets about, and sticking to the primary purpose of alcohol. Not because if you've ever done drugs, you can't be here. You absolutely could be here if you did drugs. But alcohol is the qualifier. Drugs are not a disqualifier or the qualifier. But the equality comes from the level of anonymity we choose, as well as the idea that we have the same common purpose. The minute we start to get off on a different purpose, we've already divided the group. We've already lost our effectiveness. It says here in AA Comes of Age on page 106, we think we should do one thing well rather than many things to which are not called. That is the central idea of this tradition. Our society gathers in unity around this concept. The very life of our fellowship requires its preservation. I know I've already probably said this, but if you look at the About AA newsletter, the 2004 edition, I forget what month, but if you quizzed me, I might say June, but I'm close enough. I gave you the year. I gave you the name of the newsletter. He talks about, he says a line, Vincent O'Keefe, and he's a Class A, he's a non-alcoholic, so you could say his name. He says, the reason for such exaggerated focus is to overcome denial. That's why we are so exaggerated on the singleness of purpose. Drugs are a distraction. They give me every reason to not focus on my alcoholism. They give me every reason to compare and be terminally unique. They give me every reason to stop talking about what the topic is. What's the one thing we do when we get here? We try to convince ourselves we don't belong here. What better way to do that than to focus on something we're not even supposed to be talking about? So it's not even philosophical. It's not even someone's better or worse, or we're trying to tell you not to be the person you are. We're trying to continue to move forward with the altruistic movement and stay focused on our primary aim, which is that you and I have an obsession to drink. You and I ingest alcohol, and we have a physical craving beyond control. You and I have a hole in the soul and a spiritual malady that just rips us apart. That's what we identify with. Then we start getting distracted when we start talking about things other than that as a primary aim. Again, let's not get carried away. If you want to tell me you had 22 divorces while you were drinking, that's fine. Just as much as if you told me you smoked weed in the 60s. Like we're not trying to be crazy here. It's not like you can't say, oh, I was a 60s kid and I smoked a lot of weed. That's fine. But what we're talking about is the primary aim is to stick to the feature of the wonderful thing it says on the very book where our program exists, Alcoholics Anonymous. And alcoholism is just that. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. Ask a doctor. Addiction to alcohol. Not to replace words. I'll never forget a story I was told. HA and NA were visiting a General Service Board weekend. And they were at that weekend, and I don't know if they said it from a microphone or they were saying it to individual trustees, but my source is very reliable. And they were at the event, and they were saying, you guys have to stop sponsoring the addicts. You're killing them. Send them to us. One of the most powerful things I did when I worked at the General Service Office, I will never forget it, is we had a thing. I facilitated the Day of Sharing, and we have 12 other 12-step organizations get together. Now, this was in the middle of COVID. This was in the middle when everybody was trying to find out online groups and what direction we were going to go in, and contributions weren't coming in, literature sales weren't there. There was a lot of things to think about. But you know what we spent the most of our time on? Each organization talking about how the best way we could cooperate and help each other is by sticking to our own singleness of purpose. Because that would allow the cocaine addict to get to CA. That would allow the sex addict to get to SA. That would allow the alcoholic to get to AA. And on and on and on. But you know what the problem is, right? You take fear-based, control-obsessing people, and we complicate it. Because guess what? If we all just decided tonight, for the rest of our careers in AA, to, I don't want to say submit, but to, I don't want to say conform either, but to appreciate and empower each other on this principle, if we were to commit to that, that also means we have to let go of control. And that's terrifying for us. That's why I always say these traditions and this book, AA Comes of Age, is at the very least as equally beneficial as the big book. Yes, we know the big book is Thor's hammer. Absolutely. And that's grounded in our steps. We get it. But what I'm saying is, if you've been around here for a little bit and you get into these traditions, you have to engage in just as much self-sacrifice. Because that ego is rebuilding. Rebuilding. The AA group could be just as sick as the person. It could also be just as healthy. You could learn a lot by just paying attention to the AA group. You can learn a lot on whether or not there's AA literature in AA group. That's one idea of a primary purpose. Do we have the traditions, concepts, and steps on the wall? That's an idea of a primary purpose. Do we have some sort of preamble? And I'll repeat, some sort of preamble that states what our direction is and our mission statement is. That's an idea of primary purpose. Do we have group bylaws and guidelines to conduct and facilitate our business meeting to keep them directed towards the primary purpose? That's another thing. Here's another thing. These are the things nobody wants to talk about. The reason a business meeting can get chaotic and nobody talks about Tradition 5 is because either A, they don't have the experience. So an alcoholic doesn't want to say, I don't know. They need to fill the air somehow. They're like cold cuts at the deli. There's a bunch of nitrates and fillers in there, right? They got to find a way to fill the air. But there's also the opportunity to say, I don't know, let's learn. I don't know, let's learn. Imagine that. I would take your group in downtown LA, uptown New York City, whatever, with 80 people in it that have no clue about traditions, but say, I don't know, let's learn. I will take them all day. I will never be scared. Never be scared. Because we're not all just supposed to automatically know. But you can learn a lot by a group if they're not focused on the primary purpose. These are the evils that nobody wants to talk about. That's why a lot of us shy away from service, because us all or nothing drunks don't want to say, I don't know. And those that are in the hierarchy, you know, whether circuit speakers, whatever, a lot of times you don't see them in service because they don't want to go there, because then they're just one among many. It's all about that humility and stuff. Don't take my word for it. Brooke, we got any questions? Okay, not yet. Shoemaker, stick to thy last. It's an interesting story because I never knew what that meant. But when you actually get into these things and you read about a shoemaker and you read about what a last is, it's very interesting in how it relates to singleness of purpose. When someone tells you the story, see, alcoholics are funny. I'm going to give you a little room here. I'll never forget. I've been to like, I don't know, 26 NARASs. I've chaired one of them. I've blah, blah, blah. I've been in all different roles in them. But I remember my early days of NARASA, which is the Northeast Regional Alcoholics Anonymous Service Assembly. They have them in the Southeast and the Pacific region and yada, yada, Southwest. There was a big presentation about singleness of purpose, and the individual compared it to the paperclip. And the paperclip has been around for 50, 60, 70 years. And it only has one single purpose. And I thought that was a crafty attempt to explain, but it didn't work for me because I used to use paper clips to break into houses. So it didn't have one single purpose. It had multiple purposes. So that one didn't work well for me. So there might be something I'm saying that you're going to find a way out. But the point is, alcohol, alcoholism, freedom from alcohol, 12 steps, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of us all or nothing drunks get tied up on the word it's in the tradition. What is he talking about? Each group has one primary purpose, carrying its message. Forgetting the idea of English speak and grammar, people are automatically grabbing that and saying its message. We're autonomous. Whatever our message is, we can do, rather than looking at it in the possessive, which means its message based on the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. So, for example, its message in South Florida might be a speaker meeting. Its message in Oregon might be a big book meeting. Its message in Minnesota might be a reading from the 12 and 12, whatever the case. But the point is, its is possessive. Just something to consider, because I've heard a lot of those arguments of people going back and forth on that ITS. Three letters. Together we have found a substantial remedy for a terrible malady. Of course, we might interest ourselves in fields of education, research, neurosis, and the like. But as a society, should we? Our experience says we definitely should not. And when you go back and read Grapevine articles, when you go back and read some of the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, even when you look in this book, A Comes of Age, and you see how we tried to facilitate things outside of the primary purpose, when we tried to tell people what medicine they should take or whether or not we wanted to buy a building with five stories and do everything from you know, medical perspectives and therapy and you name it. Failed, failed, failed. Even when you look at the story in this book of what they did with the yen, where they were charging yen to take someone through the steps, it failed every time. It didn't work. And like I say all the time, this is not a novel. This is happening in 2024. Somebody, I don't know how this happened, but somebody all of a sudden decided that they wanted to be, let me slow down. Certain individuals decided to take on tasks, which is their own individual right outside of AA, but started to bring this idea of life coaching into AA and picking up people at sober houses and charging them for it and charging their parents and charging the insurance companies. And all of this stuff is happening right in front of you, but we're not paying attention. Not that it's our job to fix that, because we don't engage in that. It's an outside issue. But how would we expect our members to take care of themselves if we don't communicate to them what the principles are in the business meeting? If we don't show them the benefit, that's the big key. If there's something that knocks around your head every day in between the time you and I meet on Monday night, let it be that. If there's anything that I can get inside that brain and just start sawing away over and over again, the idea, just the idea that we aren't allowing the message in front of our own members. We are not allowing that to be there. And it starts by, I don't know. Because someone in this group right now that doesn't know, you could carry the message also by saying, I don't know. We should find someone that does. That message is just as powerful as the guy who knows a little bit and speaks well. Hey, I don't know, guys. And my steps teach me to be humble. And it seems like we as a group don't know. I think we should seek help. Maybe there's something to that general service thing. And then, like I just said, thank you, Brooke, show them the benefit. But if we don't know the benefit ourselves, how can we give it to them? And that's a question I always challenge trusted servants with. What are you going to do when the AA member comes up to you and says, what's the point of this service structure? What's the benefit of the traditions? If you can't answer that, you need to be honest with them. Because if you lie to them, or if you try to pretend, now you're not going to fool a drunk. You might think you are. The same way when you were out there drinking, thinking nobody knew you were a drunk. I mean, come on. It's the same thing in AA. If you think people know what you're talking, if you think people believe you know what you're talking about when you don't, trust me, they don't. They're just being nice. And that's not a cocky statement. We know, because we are the best of the best liars. We are the best of the best hiders, pretenders. We know when another one is pretending or hiding or whatever. What do you got, Brooke?
Okay. It says, Craig, are you quoting some things from the fifth tradition in the 12 steps and 12 traditions?
I'm sure I quoted something at some point. I mean, there was a lot of me sharing my experience and stuff of that sort. But if they're asking when I was reading, the things I was reading is coming from the book AA Comes of Age. And each week we take a look at the tradition in the particular pages. Like, for example, tradition 5 is on page 106 and 107. So between now and 8:55 and 30 seconds, if Bob is nice to me. But between that time, I'm going to also read a couple of lines that's in that book. So I don't know if that answers the question. Is that the only one? With that being said, reading from AA Comes of Age, page 106, we can and we do help as individuals in those fields. That is good. But as a fellowship, we know that we must not be diverted. They're speaking of getting involved in things outside of AA's purpose. It is our experience as alcoholic that makes us of unique value in our sector of the total alcoholic front. We can approach sufferers as no one else can. Therefore, the strongest kind of moral and ethical compulsion is upon us to do this and nothing more. Some of the greatest teachers is when I've been on public information speaks at high schools and when I facilitated group inventories. Listening to our own members or listening to the public try to describe what AA is. Most of the time, We've confused them because we haven't stuck to the primary purpose. That's the other point here. If D goes into the prison on Okeechobee on Tuesday, and 10 years later, Craig goes into the prison on Tuesday, D's got her own style and Craig's got her own style, but we have the same message, or at least we should. But if D's kind of doing her own thing and making her own thing up, or Craig is, whoever won, now they're confused. The volunteer coordinator is like, oh, well, they could do AA and NA. It's the same thing. So-and-so said that they could do that. That's why it's important we don't put our members into the public until they understand what they're talking about. Not because we're controlling, not because we're rigid, because it's important. The same way you wouldn't put someone in your business, in the marketing idea, in the public until they understood the message of your company, the mission statement of your company. Why would you? It would be silly. Again, another reason why we have to know what's going on at the group. Oh, but Craig, all I want to do is stop drinking. I don't have time for this. Well, yeah, exactly. That's what we're going to help you do. Stop drinking and stop thinking about yourself. And jump on board. Therefore, the strongest kind of moral and ethical compulsion is upon us to do this and nothing more. If we had discovered a widely applicable cancer cure, we would be begged to attend to that and that only. We would not try to look after all tumors and branch out into tuberculosis and tapeworms besides. In such a case, we would certainly stick to cancer. Though AA is obligated to both medicine and religion, we cannot become experts in either. I love having fun with the big book thumpers in my community. And by my community, I mean North America, South America, Eastern Europe, Afghanistan, all the seven, the continents of the world. What I'm trying to say is there's so much more in the big book than the first 164 pages. Thank you, Brooke. And two of the things that are in there that you may not know, in the back of the appendices, one of them is the religious view on AA. And it talks about some very prominent non-alcoholics that have been a part of AA history in that one page on page 572. It's fascinating. And also in the appendices, there's the medical view on AA. And one of my single most quoted lines from a non-alcoholic, besides that singleness of purpose one, check this out. Page 570 of the big book. Dr. John S. Stopher, chief psychiatrist, Philadelphia General Hospital, citing his experience with AA, said, "The alcoholics we get here at Philadelphia General are mostly those who cannot afford private treatment. And AA is by far the greatest thing we have been able to offer them. Even among those who occasionally land back in here again, we observe a profound change in personality. You would hardly recognize them." Not only are those powerful words from a doctor in 2024, but now rewind to the ages where they wanted to throw out alcoholics. They wanted to rip out pieces of their brain. They wanted to water them down with hoses. And here this doctor was saying AA is by far the greatest option. Fascinating. All of that stuff is in the big book. All to do with our primary purpose. When I've been at these public information workshops and I've been in front of high schools and I facilitated the workshop where I taught a pre-human social work or whatever it's called course on the service structure of AA when it was in college, I'm sure I said that wrong. They were very confused of what AA was. They still kind of thought someone was in charge. They still kind of thought you paid for it. So there's a lot that people don't understand in the AA community. And this is more about what do our own members understand, but that is very reflective of what we understand. Because if the community about us doesn't understand us after approximately 90 years, we're not doing something well. That's on us. Each one of us has a doctor. Each one of us has a group, has a district, has an area, has an intergroup, has service committees. There's so many opportunities. And most of us, to be fair, don't know they exist. But there's so many opportunities to help the message stay true and simple. Page 107. We know that theology is for clergy.
I want to ask a question.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. Okay. Because I don't want you to forget. So it says, which issue of About AA and whom was it you were discussing regarding Tradition 5?
Yeah, I mean, it was the 2004, and like I said, if I had to guess, it was June, but I don't know if that's accurate. And the gentleman was Vincent O'Keefe. I could forward it to D, and D could get it out to everyone. But it's really fascinating. Those words ring so true. The reason for such exaggerated focus is to overcome denial, because we will do anything other than look at our alcoholism, and we see that in various ways. What happens during the fifth step? All of a sudden, people start becoming phenomenal gardeners and great dishwashers, and they take up, you know, new all kinds of new hobbies, anything but write their fourth step, right? We know that theology is for clergymen and the practice of medicine and psychiatry is for doctors. Certain that we could do together what we cannot do separately, we shall always cooperate but never compete. That's important as we go into six. And I know there's a script, but we're going to do six and seven together next week. But going into six, because six really talks to us about cooperating rather than affiliating. And that's also an element of the primary purpose. Because cooperating means there's an opportunity to communicate and let folks know who we are and what we do and what we don't do. Another way we could deal with our primary purpose, and I know this is a newer audience, but for some of those that are in service already and you know, dealing with a correctional facility or a treatment center, and they're telling them, you know, what they have to do, and you're very uncomfortable. Now, when you go into a prison, if you're not allowed to shake hands, you have to follow their rules or you can't be there anymore. When you go into a, you know, treatment center, you have to give them your license so they can identify you. And if you're uncomfortable with that, I understand that. I'm not talking about that portion of it. I'm talking about when we go in a facility, let's say it's a, I don't know, it's a religious treatment center. I'm just making some up here. And they say, well, in order for you guys to come here, you have to let the pastor come in for 5 minutes and talk. That's where we say, I'm sorry, we can't participate in this because of our traditions. Like, saying no is okay sometimes. Obviously, you want to try to communicate. You want to try to figure out how to make something work. You want to let them know what we do, what we don't do, etc. But sometimes saying no is also carrying the message. Most emphatically then, AA, and now I'm quoting again. Most emphatically then, AA has but one single purpose: to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. That is our basic objective, our real reason for existence. I mean, I don't know how much more clear you can get. Our basic objective and our real reason for existence. Now, I'd really like to kind of prompt everybody here, because I know you're all intelligent. I know you're all alcoholics like me. I know the head's always moving like me. I'd really like you to flood some questions into Brooke, because that can help me discuss the things that you're thinking, the things that maybe you want to overcome, or the things that you're trying to deal with at the group level or whatever. So if you could just help me out and just flood Brooke with some of those thoughts or ideas or questions, and that'll help me kind of communicate a little more. In the meanwhile, though, while we're waiting for some of that, hopefully, another idea or another ways that the group could be our primary purpose is use a literature in our meeting format. At the business meeting, if we're kind of new to service, let's make, got you, Brooke, let's make a motion to read a little bit of, whether it's A Comes of Age or a particular pamphlet, you know, every month at our business meeting, so we can start to learn these things. So we can start to, because if you could sit there and have a group where you read the big book and share your experience, strength, and hope, you should be able to do the same thing in a business meeting. You should be able to read service literature and then open it up for sharing. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how we function. That's how we grow. We share our experience, strength, and hope. You got something, Brooke?
I do. Okay. It says, I am wondering, when districts have extra money, are we supposed to give it to certain service like GSO or to the GSSA and also give some New Year's Eve party events, fun that my district do this every year? Should we keep the money in case we need it and like a savings account. Should I read that again? Or
no,
do you understand?
Don't read it.
Okay.
It was great.
It was
great. And I'm gonna hit all of it. That was perfect. So I'm gonna go back to tradition two first and say your group conscience, wherever you are, is going to trump me, but I'm going to share some ideas and experiences over the years. I'm going to make a few corrections to some things that were stated, and then also just put some things to ponder. First and foremost, just a pet peeve of mine, nobody sends contributions to GSO. We don't send money to GSO. We send money to the General Service Board for services provided by the General Service Office. So your contribution goes to the General Service Board. And from that point, it's dispersed as such. I love the question. Oh, it's great. Where do I start here? So if the district has a guideline to have some sort of New Year's Eve function, then that's fine. But I would use tradition five to make sure that that function is within the focus of AA. And a lot of people are going to have, you know, different ideas of that and interpretations of that. I love young people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I love Alcoholics Anonymous conventions. I love all that stuff. I don't like when we sell Red Bull. I don't like, think about the concept of drunk junk. I am just not a fan of drunk junk. In my opinion, what does that have to do with the primary purpose? And by the way, why would you want to walk around? What kind of convention do we have where we're literally putting the name Alcoholics Anonymous on a shirt and then we're asking people to walk around with it? That's kind of confusing, isn't it? With respect to anonymity. Now, you don't have to agree with me. I'm just telling you that's my perspective, but that would allow for conversations to take place with respect to the primary purpose. As far as the money, so here's my belief, and I was going to talk about this in Tradition 7, but we could talk about it here. If we're a district, and the Tuesday night group has an informed group conscience, and they decide that every quarter they're going to send $100 to District 6. That group has decided to give the money to District 6 so they carry the message here. So many times in AA, I watch us pass the buck, literally. Why would we send money away when the very drunks we need to help is right here? So the groups have already sent money to the General Service Board. The groups have already sent money to the area. The groups have already sent money to intergroup. They've already sent money to the district. Why would we take that money and send it away? Because you could give me the power to audit your district anywhere in this country or this area, and I can promise you there's not a big book in every library. There's not an advertisement on every diner mat. There's not an advertisement on every shopping cart that talks about where you can find A, where you can't, every billboard on the highway. Not every professional, lawyer, judge, doctor, high school has been spoken to. Not every correctional facility has a meeting. There's thousands of things because the money has everything to do with the primary purpose. The money allows us to facilitate that. So my own personal opinion, if my home group has spent the time to send the money to the district, we expect you to carry the money in the district, not pass the money forth. So to me, it's against the primary purpose and inappropriate. Again, you don't have to agree with this. I'm encouraging you to do your own research, have your own thoughts, but in my opinion, it's totally inappropriate. Now, there's always room for something. Big catastrophe happens at the area we're in. We have a discussion with the groups. We say, hey, you guys sent money to us here so we can carry the message in this city here, but it looks like our area is struggling a little bit. We'd like to give them a little chunk of that. Is anyone opposed? Fine, I get it. But in principle, why would we ever take the money that someone gave us to carry the message and pass it somewhere else? I've literally been inside district meetings where somebody wanted to do public information work, needed $1,000 to make it happen. It was wonderful, the ideas they had. And everybody at the district said, no, no, we can't do that. We can't afford that. And the very next 5 minutes, they decided to send $2,000 up the service structure. I don't even understand that. So to me, it's inappropriate in principle, but you could figure that out. So we covered the party thing. We covered the money thing to the entities. We covered the primary purpose with respect to whatever party we're holding. But yeah, I think if that district is having those discussions, like if you want to see if your district is really fulfilling the primary purpose, look at the treasurer's report. Sometimes we think it's good when there's money left over from the budget. Sometimes we think it's good when public information hasn't spent any money and it's June. I think it's horrible because we're not carrying the message. If we're not spending the money in the budget, we're not carrying the message. So the Treasurer's report tells us a lot. It accounts, is every AA dollar going to carry the message or not? What else you got, Brooke?
All right. I got some unbelievable questions, of course, because we have 6 minutes left. So I'm just going to make a quick announcement that I will screenshot the questions and Craig will answer them next week if I don't get to them all, because there's so many now. All right. The first one is, what do you think about a group that calls themselves Two for One? The group discusses alcohol and drugs. What is the group's primary purpose?
I don't think it's a group. And I know people wouldn't like me and they'd want to come at me, but Tradition 3 is very clear. We also have advisory actions that don't recognize double trouble groups. We don't recognize groups that choose to deal with more than alcohol. So I don't think it's an AA group. It's literally stating that we want to do something other than facilitate the AA's message and AA's primary purpose. So it should do that. It should probably start its own group or have a discussion. You know, this isn't an all or nothing and I'm not in charge, but I'm answering the question based on my experience. It's not an AA group. And I think somebody should have a conversation and help communicate. And if that group is informed and they could care less, well, then I think that tells you everything you need to know. But this is the exact things we come across a lot. People want to make their own rules and it ends up hurting. I know we only have a little time, but I got to tell you this story. It was probably about 10 years ago in Russia. There was a general service board that already existed. There was another one that came up and these two boards were fighting. In the United States, we own the copyrights to everything. Well, we lost a couple copyrights, but generally speaking, we own the copyrights to everything. But we're only allowed to give one copyright per country. And because these two boards were fighting in Russia, we had to remove the copyright because we didn't want to pick sides and they had to figure it out amongst themselves. But guess who suffered while those two egomaniacs were fighting? The AA member in Russia couldn't buy literature. So they were suffering. So while everyone's sitting here trying to be right and we're two for one and we want to be ourselves and we want to be recognized, let's call it what it is. It's selfish. It's selfish. Because I don't know anyone that's read our history, that's looked at our facts, that has an understanding of who we are that would ever come up with that idea. Now, I'm not being punitive because maybe they're not informed. But generally speaking, you ask me a question, my answer is it's not a group. Now, they have the right to be wrong, but when they get the right information, what are they going to do with that? And there is right or wrong in AA.
Okay, the next one. When we have non-alcoholics suffering from another affliction coming to AA through direction from treatment and courts, but do not have the fellowship they need in their local community, what should we do to be helpful?
Another reason why we need to stick to our primary purpose. Another reason why we cooperate so that I have in this little thingamajigger here, which I need a new one. I probably have 100 different people I can trust, from average members to trustees of probably 13 different organizations. I give them a hug and a handshake. I ask them if they want to go through the first 44 pages of the book Alcoholics Anonymous so they can find out if they're alcoholic or not. And if they're not alcoholic, I give them some places they can go. I offer to go with them. I give them some names and numbers that they can contact. And that's sort of, not saying that's the only way, but that's sort of what we should be as a group. There's nothing wrong with saying this may not be for you. You know, there's a razor's edge here. I don't want to be misquoted. Because I can tell you 90% of the people that I sponsor now came in thinking they didn't have a problem with alcohol. So I understand that, which is why it's our job to not declare them members or not, but it's our job to walk them through the process and then they can decide for themselves. But it's common sense. If you are a non-alcoholic, you don't belong here. It's not complicated. It's very simple. And if you are an alcoholic, you absolutely are welcome here.
Okay, this is a long one, and I'm hoping this person comes back next week because it will come up.
What is it?
It's about Tradition 7.
What does it say?
It says, my home group is in downtown Manhattan and has very high rent. It meets Monday through Friday 3 times a day. We are almost out of money and won't be able to make the rent starting in June unless something drastically changes. In our last business meeting, we discussed cutting back on number of meetings, but someone brought up tradition 5, that we'd have fewer opportunities to reach suffering alcoholics. It says, what are your thoughts on this? And then it was followed up. It says, this is also obviously a tradition 7 question. In case this comes up, the meeting's name references an area of New York City. We agree we need to stay in the neighborhood and have reached out to 40 other meeting locations and none have availability.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good question for next week anyway with 6 and 7. But and I do understand what it's like in New York City with respect to the rent. That's more of a spiritual question for the group to answer. I mean, do they need to move somewhere? If there's really not anywhere they can get for a reasonable rent, should they really be there anymore? I don't know. That's for them to answer. I think that question's a lot more complicated than I have the time to go over. So yes, let's reintroduce that again next week. Can we try to get one more in?
Yeah, of course. It says, I recently heard someone say the first step principle, was honesty. And yet I thought it was willingness. How do you feel about one word principle labeling of our steps, traditions, and concepts?
So I'll be quick because I know Bob's going to give me that 30 seconds I already predicted. The principle is the principle. I'm not into one word principles. Step 1's principle is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, our lives become immeasurable. The tradition 5 principle is each A group ought to be a spiritual entity, da, da, da. So to me, the principle is the actual principle, the actual step, the actual tradition, the actual concept. One word shortcuts, they don't work for me. I think they distract us from what the point of the principle is. Thanks for the leeway, Bob.
All audio and video files on the District 6 AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.